The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Royals back in action tonight at 7:08. Vern's on deck show at 6 p.m. on this very station. Don't forget,
12 hours from now.
It'll go by fast.
It will. I'm ready to play right now.
Don't forget, yesterday we loved seeing a lot of you. Loved seeing a lot of you yesterday coming out and collecting T-shirts from us at 7000 Squibb Road. That was our time to shine as a show. Today it is Cody and Gold. They will be out there today at 2 p.m. 7000 Squibb Road. 96.5 The Fan is giving away 100 playoff themed T-shirts in our station parking lot. Thanks to our friends at DM Injury Law. Maybe Carrington can help them out.
Maybe, yeah.
Pick up the weight, Carrington.
Uh-huh.
Just kidding. Love the guy. Kind of kidding. But, no, good to see all those people that came out yesterday. Good to see my buddy Adam come out, collect a T-shirt. Good to see all you other guys come out. Also, good to see some people last night at the K out in right field. We'll be out there again tonight, so feel free to come out and say hi. It was a very, very beautiful night for baseball.
Great last night. Last night, man. Perfect night.
Yeah.
Is tonight going to be that way, too?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
I'm gonna put my neck on the line here, and I'm okay doing. I got thick neck, three C's. I told you all on September, whatever it was, 9th, that the Royals would 100% be in the playoffs. I'm telling you today, on October 10th, 2024, the Royals will win tonight.
We'll see. Yeah, they got a great opportunity to do so.
We won't see. We know.
Yeah.
The Royals will win tonight.
We'll see.
Stop doing that.
Are they going to walk nine guys again?
I don't like you right now.
I'll play devil's advocate on this one. Are they going to walk nine guys again?
The Royals are going to win tonight.
Okay.
I was in that.
I hope they do.
I was in that locker room last night. I saw their faces. I saw their demeanor. That was not a team that is defeated. This is Chris Bubich after the game.
Yeah, it was more so the count than the pitch. I thought the pitch was pretty good, but to fall behind the count there, the guys swinging the bat pretty well. This whole, obviously, this game and the series, you know, can't happen, especially late in game, tight game. You know, that's kind of the theme of the whole inning, just falling behind in counts. And, you know, put a good swing on a good pitch and tip your cap there. But like I said, just got to be in better counts there and, you know, stay on it from, you know, from the jump.
You were trying to go down and in with the slider in that moment?
You know, ideally, you want to throw your best slider, and that's usually where my best slider ends up. But like I said, behind the count, I'd already thrown him one previously behind the count, so he saw it earlier in the sequence. But yeah, just 3-1 to a guy swinging the bat well, you know, just get ahead of the count.
You kind of settled into your role there, just set up for Hrsic. You know, going into tomorrow, you know, called upon again, you know, what gives you the confidence that you and the rest of the bullpen can make sure you guys make those pitches to keep the series alive?
Yeah, you know, everybody down there is ready to go at all times, and, you know, we've thrown the ball pretty well as a group, you know, not just this postseason, but just even the last few weeks of the regular season. But, you know, personally, I'll be ready tomorrow to go again, and, you know, I know everybody down there will be ready when their number's called.
This is why I think they're going to win. They have short-term memory. Like, they lost that first game against New York. How did they lose? Jazz Chisholm got called safe when he was clearly out. They did not let it affect him. They came back the next time and won.
And won the game, yeah.
They lost last night on a home run by Stanton. He was the better player. He was the best player on the field last night.
He was unbelievable. I would walk him every time he comes up now.
Yeah, nobody else can hit. And that was what it was. And Bubich owned that. Bubich stood there. He stared every single media member in the eyes and said, I made a bad pitch. I got behind the count. How can you prevent that from happening again? Don't get behind in the count. And I know
I thought he said he made a good pitch there at the beginning of that. And I was going to say Stanton thought it was a good pitch.
Yeah. No, yeah, he threw him a slider. It was down. It was up 3-0. Then he threw him a slider and Stanton spit on it and said, "Okay, if I see it again, I'm going to hit it." He saw it again and it was away. It was a good pitch that he ended up hitting out of the ballpark, a moonshot like 415 feet. And this team, look, it's like what Bobby said. It's like what those shirts say. We didn't come all this way to get this far and, you know, whatever. And they're literally 2 plays away from getting swept. And I know that you can say, oh,
they're also like 2 plays away from sweeping too, though, you know,
are they?
I mean, I don't
what
know.
The two Jazz, plays are they away from
the
sweeping?
Jazz Chisholm play, you know, if he's called the right way out at first base, they win, or at second base, they probably win that game.
Are you talking about the Royals?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I just said. Oh, the Royals are two plays.
I thought you were saying the Yankees are two plays away from sweeping.
No, okay. The Royals are 2 plays away from getting this series to be a sweep.
Yeah.
Chisholm gets called out. I think they win that game. Bubich doesn't get that home run to Giancarlo Stanton.
Or Volpe doesn't make that play on Vinny.
They win. You and know, I know you can say wishing one hand and crap in the other and see which one fills up first.
Right.
But that's what I'm saying. This is a team that lost 4 games in a five games in a seven-game series in the regular season, and 4 of those games were blowouts.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different team right now, and they're 2 plays away from this being a sweep. They win tonight, which they will. They'll go to New York and they'll beat New York because they won't be able to beat Cole Reagans because Cole Reagans wants the ball one more time.
And that right there is the playoff baseball, right? Like, you are 2 plays away. The margins in the postseason are so thin, and that's why you can't make those mistakes. That's why we sit on every single pitch, every single out, and you're keeping a track. Okay, 27, 26, 25. All right, 24 outs to go. I mean, we were even talking in the crowd last night. It's a 2-inning game. It's a 1-inning game. All you got to do is win that one inning. When that game got tied at 2, it became a 3-inning baseball game. Then it became a 2-inning baseball game, and then Stanton hit the home run, and then you have the opportunity to make it a 1-inning game and see what you can do and try to get that run back. But that's postseason baseball. I think if you talk to just about every team that has been knocked out, they will say 1 pitch here, 2 pitches there. Like, I'm looking up at the TV right now. They're talking about that Phillies-Mets game last night. I mean, you don't serve up a grand slam to Francisco Lindor. Philadelphia is probably talking about, okay, we're going back to Philadelphia for game 5. You know, of that series, and then it becomes an elimination game in Philadelphia. So that's where it is in the playoffs, though. That's why professional sports is so important to be perfect at, because if you're not, the other team, especially in the playoffs, is going to take advantage of it. That's where the Chiefs have thrived so much in the postseason, mm-hmm. by taking advantage of the mistakes that the other teams have made, and or taking advantage of the opportunities that other teams have presented them. They have capitalized on almost every single opportunity given to them. They have a knack for winning. It is their DNA. The Royals still need to show that. And that's the difference for me between the Chiefs and the Royals. The Chiefs, I know, are going to win games. I just know they're going to win games. How they're going to do it, it's going to be interesting to see. They're going to win their games. The Royals right now have not reached that level yet for me where I'm confident to say, oh, they're going to win that baseball game because I've seen this before. If this is 2 years from now in 2026, and we had this year and next year, and we saw how this has all progressed and they're winning games, then you feel that confidence going in. Mm. They still have to go out there and do those little things tonight and not let those little things beat them. And by those little things, it's simple. It's walking. It's better pitch selection. They're playing great defense. For the most part, they're getting really good pitching. They're finding ways out of it. They just have to take that to the next level. And sometimes that's the inexperience that comes through. But by no means does this, you know, ruin the season. If they don't win tonight, it's still a hell of a season. And everybody should be optimistic and focused on the future and excited about the future. But if you don't do those little things, the margins are so slim, as we're seeing in the postseason, it's hard to recover from those little tiny mistakes that you make. And then you go back and go, man, this play here, that play there, that play there. Yeah, that does determine a postseason series. So I'm wearing my Ibanez jersey tonight for a reason out to the game, which last night I had the Wakamatsu jersey on, a homage to the 2014-2015 team. The Ibanez jersey for me tonight is the jersey because he was the guy that got this thing moving in the right direction in 2014 and then obviously carrying over to 2015. When they brought him in here, he told that team, you're not dead. You're good. Everybody in this league fears you. So the Ibanez jersey is getting worn tonight for that reason. I'm channeling my inner Raul Ibanez when I'm in that crowd tonight because he said it wasn't over in 14, and they responded, and they believed in Raul Ibanez, and he was that veteran guy. Raul will be there in spirit tonight telling this team, hey, you're not done yet. Do those little things. But if you don't do those little things, then you will be done. Just go out there and play a clean game of baseball, and you'll have an opportunity to win this thing.
I mean, look, pressure, Gerrit Cole, game five. And the other thing, too, is baseball is full of statistics. 72% is this percentage of teams that win game three to go on to win the series. 72. Mm-hmm. You think that number would be like 87, 88, 89? It's 72. Okay.
45 of 62 times the team that wins game three goes on to win that series. There's a big chance that they don't win that series tonight. And
if they don't win tonight, they're really screwed.
Real quick, I know we got to run, but like if it gets tooth and nail, are you thinking about bringing Cole Reagans in at all tonight?
Everybody's available. Everybody's available.
That's kind of how I feel.
Bases loaded, one out in the sixth inning. Lucas Irsig's available.
Yeah, you got to go to Irsig early.
Seth Lugo's
early. Yeah.
Available. I don't care if he pitched last night. He's available.
Somebody said to me last night, because I said, maybe we should bring Irsig in this situation. I think it was like the fifth or the inning when the Yankees had the rally going and they brought in Singer. I go, I'd bring in Irsig here. And somebody said to me, they go, what would you do to close the game out? I said, well, if you don't get out here, you're not going to worry about closing out the game. So, yeah, you may see Irsig in the fifth or sixth inning. The highest leverage situation, I think, is when you need to bring in your best reliever.
Ben Maurer will join the show on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Man, shout out Brady Singer. He gets a tip of the cap.
Yeah, he does, because when he came in that game, like Aaron Judge is hitting .417 in his career off of Brady Singer, and Brady got him out, man. That was a hell of a performance. But first performance of the postseason.
Yeah.
You face a guy that's hitting almost .500 against you.
Mm-hmm.
See you later.
Not only that, but first time out of a bullpen.
Yeah.
Like
first playoff performance, first time out of a bullpen, facing a guy that's hitting like .500
four pitches
off you.
And a strikeout.
Whew. Brady Singer.
The Yankees might have won. But they have got to, you've got to think that the lead in their organization of radio is 100% Aaron Judge. Wasn't he 0-5 last night? 0-4?
0-4 again last night. Well, Aaron Judge again is very lucky the Mets won last night. Lindor hits that grand slam.
That's fair. So
everybody's
going
to be talking about the Mets moving on.
Is that how that works in New York? Like they just, it doesn't matter if it's Mets or Yankees. They'll just talk about whoever's like,
well, what's the biggest story, right? You know, the Mets. Biggest, like the story is Francisco Lindor hitting that grand slam. The
right.
Mets are in the NLCS. They started 9-19 this year, right?
Yeah.
And now they're in the NLCS. So it will be Mets dominated. And the football coach got fired by Aaron Rodgers, right?
I just didn't know if it's like Chicago where like half the city talks about the north side and the other half talks about the south side.
In Chicago, it's 90% north side.
Yeah,
but you know, it's interesting because, you know,
I see if your Mets and your Yankees affiliates, like for radio stations, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know more than I do. I'm genuinely curious.
No, I mean, you turn on WFAN on the Odyssey app today. I love listening to like what the opponents are saying. I do it like during Chiefs season, right?
Well, it gives you content too.
100%. Yeah, 100%. You're able to steal content and hear what they're thinking about. They talk about your team, what they're thinking about, you know, with your team and whatnot. And I was listening a little bit yesterday, actually, and they were talking about this game four and game three yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Game three, whatever it was yesterday. Mm. And they were saying yesterday that, look, if the Yankees don't win, Aaron Boone's fired after the season and we're booing Judge out of town. And I'm like,
come
okay.
Come on to Kansas City, Aaron.
Yeah, right.
Come on in.
You help us in the regular season. Yeah. We won't put you on the postseason roster, but we'll put you in the regular season. So that was kind of the conversation about this game, you know, yesterday that they were having. But with the Mets winning in dramatic fashion like that, like people like talking about winners, you know? And the Mets win and they're in the NLCS, you know? And I think that'll be the dominating story today. I think they'll be like, ooh, the Yankees escaped. They got lucky. Can they do it one more time? You got your ace on the mound and Gerrit Cole. This is why you paid Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole, it's time to nut up type of thing. And then they'll be talking about Aaron Rodgers firing Robert Saleh because he went on McAfee, obviously, yesterday. And I had no knowledge of this, but then said, and I don't know if you heard this from Rodgers yesterday, he said the owner, Woodrow Johnson, called him on Monday and was like, how you feeling? You okay? I need you to play better. Are you telling me Woodrow Johnson didn't ask him at that time on Monday if he should fire the coach and then went in there on Tuesday and fired Robert Saleh?
I also lost a little bit of disrespect or a little bit of respect for Pat McAfee. Because he was like, thank you for coming on and saying that. And now the media is going to chop all this up and make it their own way. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Pat, come on.
Yeah.
Stop.
Every clip I heard from Rodgers was like 2.5 minutes long. They let the full forum play.
Yeah, I don't know. We can get into that a little bit.
Yeah, we can.
We're getting ready to be joined by our guy, Ben Maller, here.
Yeah, brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. And, Ben, we've got ourselves an elimination game here in Kansas City tonight. Yankees and Royals, doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, so, I think it will go back to New York. All bets are off after that. But it would be helpful, rather obvious, if you stop walking the entire Yankee lineup to get to a game five and whatnot. But, yeah, I mean, the margins are thin. That game one, I think I texted you, Bob, after game one. I was like, that game was right there. The Royals kept coming back. They kept getting leads. And then the Yankees would come back and take the lead. But I don't trust Gerrit Cole for the Yankees, who's pitching this next game here. So Gerrit Cole's a guy that you can attack and get some runs off of. And so, hey, it's made if it's all scripted for television, what's better than a game five for the right to go to the league championship series and the big bad New York Yankees on a Saturday night? I think that would be awesome. I'd love to watch it. I love elimination games. Who doesn't like those games? So bring it on.
I think the people involved that don't like elimination games, right? But if it's scripted, they want the Yankees to move on, so they just dispose of them in four and move them on to the next round to ensure. No.
Well, but yeah, but a game, you know, final game, all the drama, the buildup, you know, with all the stuff going on around Aaron Judge, who has lived up to the billing, right? We talked about Aaron Judge and his issues, and he's lived up to the hype. He hasn't been a productive player in the playoffs at all. The thing that is really surprising to me is that Bobby Witt has not raised his game up. This is a great opportunity for him. He still has a chance. If the Royals come back and win the next two games and he's the guy, then everything that's happened will be forgotten. But he really hasn't done much of anything for the Royals, doesn't have an extra base hit yet. I mean, this is a great opportunity for him to get to that next level as a villain. Much like George Brett, who annoyed everyone by being interviewed last night, back in his day when he was a Yankee villain.
Yeah, so I didn't watch the game. I was at the game last night. A lot of texts. My phone was blowing up. How bad was Bob Costas?
Well, here's the problem. Like, Bob Costas is my childhood. Like, Bob Costas and Al Michaels, everyone rips them. And I'm like, oh, I'm like 10 years old watching Bob Costas do a game or Al Michaels. But for the younger generation, he's a boomer. He's terrible. He's telling these outdated references, you know, they say he's a Yankee fan and all that. The thing that people were annoyed about is they did like a massive interview with George Brett and people were really upset. Most likely Yankee fans, I would think, that were upset by that. Like, what are you doing talking to George Brett? What's wrong with you and all that? I think Costas is all right. It is odd, though, that that's like the only thing that he does. He doesn't do any other commentary anymore. All he does is playoff. I guess he does a few baseball games, but they bring him back for the playoffs. It's very, very bizarre to me. But to me, Costas is fine. To everyone else, he should hang up the microphone.
Well, he's terrible. He didn't know how to call a play that was a ground ball to shortstop that was or to second base that was clearly out, and his friend and co-host had to help him out with that. So, I mean, I think there's a little bit more than just he's fine. I think he's just a little outdated and letting his bias bleed, which I think that's kind of interesting. I don't know what you think about this, but there's times when we get in trouble here on the radio station letting our Mahomes bias bleed. But do you think that's okay to have that sort of feeling towards the broadcast, to let your bias show? Because, I mean, as a New York guy, went to Syracuse, he's part of that Syracuse clique. Like, you think that's okay?
I think everyone who does play by, like Joe Buck, for years, everyone said whatever team he was doing, whatever game he was doing, people said, oh, he's rooting against us and all that. But there are certain broadcasters that I will just put the mute button on because they just annoy me, and I'd rather just watch the game without the sound of their voice and all that. Like, but to me, Costas is not on that list. I mean, he's been doing games. I think he actually started at CBS in like 1974 as a network broadcaster, like doing NFL games. That just blows my mind that he's still even able to do it. But is he biased towards the Yankees? Yeah. I'll tell you what, Dusty, remember Chris Collinsworth when he did an interview a couple weeks ago, and he's like, yeah, I'm rooting for the story. I'm rooting for ratings. He wants to see certain teams win because it's good for ratings. For Bob Costas and for TV guys, the Yankees are the ratings. So it would make sense that they want the Yankees to win because it helps bring eyeballs and they make more money and all that. So I understand why they do it. But it doesn't it make it that much sweeter if the Royals were to win that everyone's for the Yankees and the Royals end up winning anyway? I think that would make it even better.
No doubt. Talking with Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio. And the other big story outside of Kansas City and New York going to a game four tonight out at Kauffman Stadium is Aaron Rodgers firing the coach and promoting himself to head coach and keeping his lackey Nate Hackett in charge. This whole overall Jets situation, it's ridiculous, really. It's absolutely nuts, and they deserve every minute of this crap.
Well, it's appropriate is what it is, right? You saw this coming. The body language between Aaron Rodgers and everyone's an amateur psychologist who watches the NFL, but the interactions between Salah and Rodgers, they didn't hide it. You knew there was some underlying tension that was going on, and so it was getting to a breaking point. But the fact that Nathaniel Hackett kept his job, as you said, I mean, that is an indictment of Aaron Rodgers. If you're going to get rid of – it's a two-for-one special. If you're going to get rid of Robert Salah, you get rid of Nathaniel Hackett. The offense is the same as last year. The same number of points with Zach Wilson as Aaron Rodgers. And Rodgers looks old. I mean, let's be honest. He looks like he's an aging player. He's not the player that he was. But then he gets all upset. Like, I can't believe people are saying this. I can't get anyone fired. It's the same. He's using the same playbook that LeBron James does when he gets coaches fired in the NBA. He's like a doppelganger of LeBron. He's like, I didn't make the move. Yeah, you might not have made the move, but you got the puppet strings. You're holding on to them, the marionette and all that.
Ben, I want to get into college football with you because I know there's a lot of pro story. I mean, come on, Thursday night football game tonight's kind of brutal. It's San Francisco injured Niners versus the Seahawks. But I'm really interested in two games and what your opinions of them are, because one's kind of, well, I guess a lot of local, and then the other one's really intriguing. Ohio State, which is Bob's secret alma mater, goes to Oregon. I think that game's like very exciting this weekend for college football. It's number three versus number two. And then another one that's really intriguing to me is K-State at Colorado. So for us, must be nice to be on LA time, because for us it's at 9:15 and Colorado's a 4-point dog. Do you have any belief in Colorado, or is it all just smoke and mirrors still?
So I want to believe in Colorado because I like the story with Deion Sanders, but there's just not a lot of meat on the bone. It's more sizzle. There's not a lot of steak there in Colorado. So I don't. And it does seem like he's going to leave Colorado at the end of this year, that this is just a short-term thing. His kid's going to be gone, and then he'll be gone from Colorado. But, yeah, I do have a time zone advantage out here. And as far as, like, Ohio State and Oregon, yeah, this is like the first big, hey, Ohio State, you got to go into a hostile situation at an old Pac-12 school in Eugene, Oregon. And I haven't seen the forecast. It's probably going to be a little rainy and cool and all that. And I know Ohio State should be used to all that. But that game has got a lot of sex appeal because of the Nike money and Oregon's stacked as they often are. And Ohio State every year is loaded. So that's the game that I circled this weekend in college football to keep an eye on. I actually think Ohio State's going to lose to Oregon, and then people will be all upset. But it doesn't really matter that much because we have a playoff and they've added all these extra teams. So in the end, they'll both end up in the playoff.
And that's great. Like, I like college football slate this weekend. You also have Texas and Oklahoma, the first time these two teams are in the SEC playing in that Red River Shootout. College football for me came back because of Deion Sanders in my world. I started watching again, you know, because of Deion, and now we've got this playoff in place. I think college football, maybe of all the sports right now, is kind of moving in the right direction, the right way. They're doing some good things. Big changes like baseball did to improve the game. I think we saw that in college football. It's improved the game, and it's getting more people to the television sets.
Yeah, I'm not there with you, Bob. I'm not as big a college football guy. I like the stories. I love that Alabama last week lost to Vanderbilt and they took the goalpost down to the river. I love stuff like that. But you know, I'll find myself on a Saturday and I'll be watching. Whatever the big games are, I'll check them out. But I don't have that. I still don't have that passion. Like, there's a couple stories that, like I said, I like, but overall, I'm not there. I'm still more into the NFL, even though the product is not always that great in the NFL.
Yeah.
That's what pays the bills, though.
Yeah, no, it is. And I mean, you know, some of the product in the NFL, like, we're spoiled in the NFL, right? We get Patrick Mahomes, we get the Kansas City Chiefs, we get Travis Kelce, we get all this kind of stuff. And then you watch some of these other games around the league and you're like, God, we're so much better than everybody else. Like, who do you look at right now in the AFC as a legit competitor to the Chiefs?
Yeah, there really isn't anyone. You say, well, the Ravens, because that game was close with the Chiefs. The Ravens have the 31st ranked pass defense in the NFL at this moment. And the Texans are 4-1, but they don't really look that good, even though they're 4-1. Buffalo's falling apart. Cincinnati's not going to even make the playoffs, it would appear, at this particular point. The only thing that will stop the Chiefs is injury. And even that doesn't appear to I can't believe what they did to the Saints, putting up 460 yards without any playmakers. It blows me away. I thought, well, the Saints, I was convinced they had a decent defense. And the Chiefs, they treated them like silly putty in that game. So I spent a lot of time handicapping these games for the TV show. And you get to Sunday or Monday, and you're like, that makes no sense. Like, how did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Like that, yeah. For example, the Cowboys driving against the Steelers defense in the final seconds to win the game. How did that happen? Like, there's a lot of, just doesn't make any sense.
No, it really doesn't, which means Aaron Rodgers will hire Dion to be his new head coach, because that will make no sense, right?
Well, it'd be great for our business. Imagine that. That'd be wonderful. No, Deion Sanders, what, back to Florida State? Back to Florida State there, maybe? No? Or NFL Network TV guy next year?
Yeah, something like that. Ben, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. Enjoy the game 4 of the Yankees and the Royals, and we'll talk to you again next week.
I'll be watching. Thanks, guys.
That's Recording Ben Maller. Stopped. Oh, there it is. Way to leave it in, Dusty.
Whoops.
Breaking news.
Can you just cut that little piece?
I love that. That was fantastic. You left it in. Dusty found a way to edit it quicker than I was doing it for the last, I don't know, umpteen years. And so I just left it in Dusty's hands. I trust the people I work with to get the job done. And that was fantastic. I love it. Recording. Because I'm looking at this thing it's just moving across. I'm like, it ended and it's still going. And I'm like, wait a second. We said goodbye to Ben.
Thanks, guys.
Recording stopped.
Hey, look. Maybe I'm Vinny Pasquantino, and I need to sit this one out for the rest of the show.
No, that's good. I like that. That's really funny. But, some of the stuff that Ben touched on, he thinks it's going back to a game 5. We're all hoping it goes back.
He's also a Costas guy.
To a game. Well, And let me get on that for a quick second here, because I've been talking to a lot of people about Bob Costas. Obviously, I didn't watch the game last
that
night.
That guy sucks.
I was at the game last night. You were at the game last night. Yeah. So everything we're getting is for last night's game anyway.
Yeah.
Secondhand knowledge. But a lot of the secondhand knowledge backs up kind of what we felt in New York, you know, the double play where he was so disappointed.
But it's not Giancarlo Stanton's fault.
Right. No.
His words not mine.
His words not ours.
Yeah.
So last night, I tried to be in the moment. You know, there's an old picture that I go back to a lot in my life now because of the way life is. And it's a picture of the Pope in this parade, right?
Oh, boy.
And everybody's got their phone out taking a picture of the Pope, except for this little old lady who's just sitting there watching it. Mm-hmm. And they say, enjoy the moment. Don't try to capture the moment, right? So when I'm at these events now at 47 years old, my old age, I want to enjoy these moments. So I kind of put the phone away. I'm not texting, and, you know, people are complaining about the strike zone on my feed, with friends last night. Like, I can't get caught up in that, man. I'm enjoying this game because the atmosphere was spectacular. Also reminded me last night, we need a new stadium and we need it bad. If you were in those concourses last night and the radio broadcast got knocked off the air, that's all because of this stadium being an antiquated, you know, cement pit right now, and we need the new stadium. Those
My anxiety was high at the end getting to the clubhouse because I was like, I don't know where to go.
you can't move in those concourses. They're so tiny. They've got so many different concession stands. Yeah. They've got ropes up. They've got barriers up. It is an antiquated building. If you were there last night and you're going to be there tonight, you're going to understand and totally now realize why we need a new stadium. When you're there in May and 13,000 people are there, you're like, oh, this is fine. And you're not wrong. But when it's a full house, which I want it to be every night that there's a baseball game, you can't move around that stadium. And so the texts were coming in and whatnot. And I'm looking and all of a sudden, Dusty, like, people I haven't friends of mine that I haven't talked to. You know, you don't talk to everybody all the time, right? Yeah. Bing, bing, bing. And it was all Costa stinks. I'd rather listen to the tree call the game. Boom, boom. Like all of these things about Bob Costas. And I'm like, God,
it was bad.
He must be having a bad night, right? And so the Ben Maller thing is kind of where I am as well. Like we're in that generation where when Bob Costas came on the TV, it was a big event. Sure. And Al Michaels is kind of in this category now for a lot of people. A lot of people don't like Al Michaels right now, right? But that's my, we love our youth. We love being young. We love our childhood. We love those memories. No matter what generation you're in, you have those great memories of your childhood. Bob Costas was that guy for our generation. And I used to think, yesterday, was thinking like, maybe it's the younger generation that doesn't like Bob Costas, right? Mm-hmm. But the text messages I got were like people my age and older that were complaining about Bob Costas last night. And so when I saw those, again, very small sample size, but when I see it's people that are my age and older complaining about Bob Costas, you know there's a problem with Bob Costas. And I don't want to use this as a bash Bob Costas thing because I think he's a phenomenal, legendary broadcaster. But you know what? Sometimes you lose your fastball.
His ongoing postseason struggles. Here's a drive to deep left field. Does it have enough? It does not. At the edge of the track, Melendez takes it.
Recording stopped. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City.
So weigh in on him.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Oh, I'll tell you what, Smokehouse Barbecue is cooking up a game day special that can't be beat. You want to serve six people, you want to do it for under $80, and Smokehouse Barbecue is your spot for all of your game day meals. Whether it's your football game day, on the premise at the stadium, or at home, Smokehouse Barbecue will cover it all. How about a pound of burnt ends, a pound of wings, a slab of baby back ribs, a quart of beans, paperware, serving utensils, like I said, for six for just $79.95. And when you get that game day special, use your opportunity to try the Sweet Zing Wings. It's a new chicken wing sauce with a sweet flavor and a kick, and they are absolutely delicious. I can tell you my kids are loving those Sweet Zing Wings from Smokehouse Barbecue. But Smokehouse has so much than just the game day special. They've got the barbecue pizza with the crispy meat on top, and you're going to get some sausage. You're going to get some burnt ends as well with the barbecue sauce. Phenomenal. Then you're going to have the barbecue nachos. You're going to get the crispy meat and the pulled pork on top. Double dip with the meat. You'll thank me later. And of course, every meal at Smokehouse Barbecue, you got to finish with that carrot cake. It is just to die for. So check out Smokehouse Barbecue at one of their three locations, Independence, Gladstone, and Zona Rosa. And don't forget to try the burnt end chili that they've got going on right now. Oh, it's chili season and their chili is the best. You can order everything at SmokehouseBBQ.com. That's SmokehouseBBQ.com. For over 35 years, locally owned and family operated, it's Smokehouse Barbecue.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty. There's times in your life where you just take a back seat, and I think this is one of those times in my life where I do that.
I think I'm going to do the same thing as well because I have no idea what's going to happen in this segment. Marlins man, Lawrence Levy, in studio with us, and it's obviously a big moment when Marlins man, you're good, you're on the air. Just put that microphone right in front of your face. I know it's been a long time since you've been in here, but you're not shy of a microphone over there, Mr. Levy. So first of all, I just want to say it really is good to see you because you've been going through hell with your health, man. I mean, it's been a battle, and you kind of been texting me and everything that's been going on over these last, I don't know, 3 weeks, 3 months, however long it's been. But you've been going through hell. Just to see you here in Kansas City, I think is a blessing that, you know, you're out of the hospital.
Yeah, actually, Bob, you're right. I had planned to come here a lot more. Since COVID, I was here a lot, as you know, in 14, 15, 16, up to 19.
Yeah.
And I loved it here, became my second home. And as you know, I went to dinner with you. I planned to move here.
Right.
And surprise everybody. And then COVID happened. We actually went and looked at locations. I went to other cities. I went all around Kansas to see if they needed a workers' comp lawyer. And I felt nobody was advertising for workers' comp. And I even talked to you about that. And I said, how come nobody's out there like trying to advertise workers' comp? And now when I drive around, I see those signs everywhere for the Edelman and Thompson. They're like, what they're doing is what you and I talked about years ago. Well, then COVID shut me down. And I had really planned to come here a lot this year. And unfortunately, after a Sunday night baseball game, I stepped on a water bottle and broke my foot and my knee. was put me in a wheelchair.
You know a lawyer that can sue somebody for that?
Except yeah, except it was my own negligence.
Oh.
And I didn't have a deep pocket defendant. It was my fault.
Yeah.
So I actually planned to come here today, talk about the Royals and how much I love Kansas City and how I went to the fire stations at 10 and 17 yesterday to visit the people. Because you remember when Ligio and Mesh died?
Yep.
We had fundraisers. We sold the hats. We made $70,000 for each family, I think, selling the hats. But I sat at the game last night, and I watched what happened in New York when that play, when the former Marlin Jazz Chisholm was called safe, and he was out by like 3 inches on. And I said, this is terrible. People think that baseball wants certain teams in the playoffs. And that's a fallacy, guys. I'm going to tell you why. Baseball, and I had dinner last night. I was actually sitting with George Brett, and I explained it to him too. They don't care who wins. They sell a product to a network. The network's bid on it. They get a set price, like $150 million for this series. Whether it's four games or seven games, they get the same money.
Mm-hmm.
It's the networks that want the Yankees and the Dodgers.
No question.
Not baseball. So yesterday I started noticing in the game, man, there's a lot of balls called on the Royals that are strikes. And I kept seeing this over and over and over again. And I made some notes. Number one, you people in Kansas City are too nice. If Philadelphia or New York got the abuse last night that you were getting, the fans would have been screaming obscenities at the umpires.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat around seeing all these nice, polite Kansas City people taking the beating. Okay? So we're going to play a little game. You're going to be Judge Fesco.
All right.
And I'm going to be the lawyer. Okay?
All right.
I want you to open up ESPN.com.
All right.
I want you to go to the game last night and go to play-by-play.
Okay.
And I'm going to prove to you my point. Okay?
All right.
And I've already pulled it up on my phone, but I know you can't see this.
All right.
And I know your drivers can't see it, so I'll explain it by words. Okay? Now, if you go, for example, on ESPN.com play-by-play, when you hit to a certain place, a certain bat, it shows you on the right by the computer whether it's balls or strikes.
Right.
I want you to look at a fourth inning. Let's just look at the fourth inning for a second.
Fourth inning. Top of the fourth or bottom of the fourth?
Let's go to Soto.
Soto walking.
Yeah. Tell me how many balls he had. Four. Right?
Yeah.
How many of those were strikes in the computer?
All of them.
All of them.
All of them.
Every single one of those was a strike.
Yeah. Every single one was in the box.
Okay. This is not me making it up.
Right.
Okay. This is proof, Your Honor. Proof.
Right.
That my client's being abused by the umpires.
Right.
You're not playing the Yankees.
Right.
Here's the sentence for today. You're playing the umpires.
No question.
Marlins man is going public and saying, I'm going to prove it to you. What? What are you talking about? Here we go, Kansas City. First pitch. Strike. What did he call?
Which inning are we in? The first inning?
It's the whole game.
All right.
I just happened to pick that one to show you that when Stanton got his double and knocked in a run, he should have had a double with nobody on. Okay? So let's look right here. Ball. It's a strike. Ball. It's a strike. Ball. It's a strike. He should have been out. What does he do? He gets another one. All four pitches. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now let's go to the next batter. What do you see? You see two balls. But wait a minute. They're all strikes in the corners.
Yeah.
That's six balls called on the Royals that were six strikes. Now, from where I'm sitting, Bob, we see that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's going on here? Is this a fix?
Well, we were out in left field thinking the exact same thing. And we're far away, so you think everything's
a
strike.
View.
No, that's what I'm saying. So if we're seeing that out in left field, they all look like strikes. You're sitting behind home plate. The screen is telling us that they're strikes.
Now,
look, you're in on the script as much as I am on this.
Okay,
I told
so
you,
let's
you
go
can't
to the
play
next,
the umpires.
Wait, let's go to the next batter. Jazz Chisholm, right? Now, he grounds out. But what do you see? One ball. So that means in three batters with about, I don't know, 12 pitches, they've thrown one ball, okay? And this happened the whole game. I could pick up, you could pick any batter, here's another one, okay? Let's go to, let's see, top of the fifth,
okay?
Now, top of the fifth, we got to give him credit. When Volpe singled the center, those were balls, right?
Okay.
But let's look at Cabrera's walk. Four balls in a row.
All strikes.
That's right.
Yeah, there's one
ball.
There's one ball.
One ball. Yeah. Okay. So it should be, but what do you see with three strikes? He's out.
He's out.
But he got a walk. So that means in five batters, I've seen like three strikes, but there were balls. And it got even worse at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. When I got to the end of the game, I was sitting there like, I know it's not a fix, but I'm going to make this statement right now. And I've never said this in my life. And you guys know I go everywhere and I go to thousands of games in my life. You win that game last night with a better umpire.
Mm.
I've never said that in my life.
Mm-hmm. So we can blame the refs.
Okay. And I have season tickets to the Yankees. I like the Yankees. You've seen me there.
Right.
I want fair, close games. You should have won that game last night 2-1. If you look, Stanton hit his home run.
Right.
Okay. But if you look at the other runs that were scored and you look at the, like I just did, Your Honor,
mm-hmm.
you're going to see that you're not playing the Yankees. You're playing the umpires. Well,
and that's what we've kind of said going into this series with
no,
the Royals.
No, but I'm proving it to you,
No,
Honor,
I know. No,
this
you
is
are.
Not me saying, you are. Oh, I'm a Royal. I'm going to show you something else.
But we said going into the series, if you play the umpires, you're going to lose this series.
Okay, now here's
right?
something else.
So you've
got
to take the umpire out of the equation.
I want you to
Dusty.
Describe what I'm going to do. Okay? What am I wearing right now?
Marlins orange, Marlins visor.
Correct.
Yeah.
Except you got one problem.
Uh-oh.
I'm like Superman.
Oh, you got a Royals orange jersey
like
on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Like
okay.
that.
Yeah.
This is not something I made.
Flip the cameras.
This
here,
is
right?
not yeah. something I've made. This is an official minor league Royals jersey. A couple of years ago, I was here, Royals game. I see it. I go, what is that? Guy said, the mascot, they had a special day. They had an orange jersey. I go, where do you get this? He goes, you only gave them out that day. So I had my office staff go on eBay, and I bought
his
all.
Mic went off. Mac.
There he is. He's back.
Okay. So I had my office staff buy every one of them. So I have like nine of them.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to wear this tonight. I'm going to wear an orange Royals jersey. I'm going to hear so much crap from people in New York, but you know what? I just want a fair game.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm telling you, with a different umpire, you win last night 2-1. And I have never, ever, ever, ever said this in my life, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I sat there and I watched the abuse. And the other thing is, I want Kansas City fans, if they see it, to let the umpires hear it. Kansas City should no longer take the beating.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Don't be rude and vulgar like Philadelphia and Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Be more like the Mets fans or the Dodgers fans, but let them hear it.
Let them hear
because
it.
Because it was, in the last three innings, it was abuse. I mean, there were so many times that a low and away strike was called a ball, and the fans were all going, Okay?
Master P in the crowd.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. And I'm going to tell you that you can look, for Kansas City fans, if you have a chance, do what I said. Go to ESPN.com, go to the game, and go to play-by-play and pick a particular at-bat. And look how many green balls are in the strike zone the entire game. It's abuse. Okay.
The guy's name is Lance Barrett.
Lance Barrett is the umpire. So who's umpiring tonight would be whoever was at first base moves to home, I believe. So
well, it's not Angel Hernandez, right?
Oh, no.
No, tonight it'll be the crew chief behind the plate, Mark Carlson.
Okay, Mark Carlson. I don't know. Yeah, so we'll see if he gets this thing right. But you let the umpires have an impact on that. And they are going to affect the game because it's better for the networks if the Yankees move on. We've said that.
You said it.
Yeah.
I'm so happy you said that.
Yeah, it is.
Too many
is.
Times people say it's better for baseball.
Yeah.
Baseball doesn't care.
No, what's actually
care.
Good for baseball would be the Padres and Royals in the World Series. That
oh, they would
be
hate
great
that.
For baseball.
Okay, we actually, at dinner last night, I said to them, because I know everybody in the networks too, and I said, I know like the vice president of ESPN and stuff. They hope they would pray for like Yankees, Dodgers.
Yeah.
That's their
dream matchup.
Because
yep.
that they
I've
also
been actually
told
been
me,
told by somebody in the networks that that's right, what they want.
They also told yes, and they also told me, which I never knew, that in the industry, they want every series to go at least five games. Five is their break even number.
Five's the break even number.
Yes,
right.
So the advertising revenue for a four game sweep would be devastating to them.
Right.
Okay. A five game is break even. Six and seven, they make money. Baseball gets the same money, whether it's four games or seven.
Right.
It's the networks who will make or lose money.
That's right.
Another
that
thing that's interesting.
Is very big for the networks.
When was the last time? This is a trick question. Actually, you might know. I'm going to ask you. When's the last time there was a sweep in the World Series? I know because I was there.
I don't know. Off the top of my head,
you
I
know?
Can't think about it.
I'm going to say.
Was it Yankees-Padres?
No. Last time a sweep in the World
Yankees,
Series.
Yankees-Mets?
Nope.
No. Marlins and somebody?
I'll give you a clue. Since I started being a Marlins man in 12, it'd have to be 12 or sooner.
Okay, so the Giants won in 12.
Correct.
Yeah.
Who did they beat? Huge favorite. Who did they beat?
2012.
Giants were a huge underdog.
I don't know who they
The other team had, like, Scherzer and
Philadelphia?
No. Detroit. Yes.
Detroit.
Tigers.
Yeah.
Tigers were a huge favorite. Bullpen, everybody's throwing 100 miles an hour. They go to San Francisco, and Panda hits 3 home runs. Okay? Mm-hmm. And they that was the last time it was a sweep. That was the last time the networks lost money because it was Giants, Tigers.
Right.
Now, we talked last night. The network's nightmare is Padres, Royals.
Oh, yeah. No question.
Okay?
But it would be the greatest series for baseball.
For baseball.
Great players in both organizations, future superstars in organizations, and fan bases that are off the chain passionate about their team.
Yeah, but the difference in the teams is the Padres spent a ton of money on superstars, a few of them. And the Royals, like the Marlins, had a new owner, blew up the teams the same year. The Royals are now a balanced team from top to bottom without a name superstar with a huge monster contract.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the monster contract team is the Yankees, Dodgers, of course, and the Padres.
Yep.
Okay? So you have the Tigers probably going to go in, and you all know I hate Cleveland, so I want Cleveland out. So you're probably going to have, I hope, Royals, Tigers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side, you're probably going to have, well, I don't know. It could be anybody, actually.
Yeah.
It's going to be Mets.
Yeah.
So at least they have one network, one big. They're going to have Mets in there. And the networks are probably hoping for the Dodgers, you know? But I'm telling you, when I was driving over here today, and I knew I was going to come talk to you yesterday, my whole attitude changed from what I was going to talk about to I said, I'm going to go in there with Judge Fesco, and I'm going to tell him that I want a ruling on what do you think we should do to stop the abuse against the Royals.
Yeah, got to boo the hell out of the umpires tonight.
Yep. And you got to let them hear about it because other teams do.
Yep.
But I noticed when you guys were getting the abuse, the fans all go, ugh. Nobody's letting them hear. But don't be vulgar, okay? Don't be rude. But I'm telling you, I have proven to you objectively, not subjectively, by tests, that if you fans go and look at the game, look at the Yankees at-bats, look at the play-by-play, and look how literally probably 60% or more of the called balls in the game were strikes. And how do you know that? A ball is green, the strike is red, and look at the green in the strike zone. 4 pitches in a row, not 1 or 2, constantly the entire.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here night, I just picked one inning to show you because I'm only here for a few minutes, of course.
Right, yeah.
I went through last night and looked at the whole thing. And I'm like, wow.
Crazy.
That's Marlins Man in the studio. We appreciate the time. We come back on the other side. We'll get to Nate Taylor and all your other topics from last night's game. Thank you again for coming in and pleading the fifth.
Go Royals.
Thank you very much. We'll be right back on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word, it's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.